to get started here. I don't know if I should phrase this as a statement or a question, but here it goes. It seems like it's easy to believe God when everything is going right. Everything seems to be, it's like, yeah, I believe in God. Woo, yep, everything's rocking. That song, Everything's Going My Way. But what about when life seems to be throwing you curveballs, left and right, sometimes dodgeballs, right? I mean, the old school dodgeballs. When you got hit with one of those, you knew that you had been hit, right? What about the stress? I know that each of us have that amount of stress that sometimes builds up, that comes from all sides. And it seems like you just don't feel like moving forward. And this morning, in the Old Testament, there's a guy by the name of Moses that we can definitely can relate to this story, that God's grace and presence are always with us. His grace is always with us, even when we're under fire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, I am so overjoyed to be here, to be one of your servants, to serve you in this way, and I am so humbled. I am so humbled. Father, I pray that those within my hearing this morning would hear your word, and that it would speak to them. Let it speak to me. Father, let each of us be encouraged. And Father, I pray for that anointing that only you can give me this morning. In your name I pray, amen. How many of you have ever experienced God's grace in your life? You know, your story. How many of you have experienced it? And are you thankful for it? Okay, all right. The reality is of life that we will not always, it seems, have that sense of God's grace. We're sometimes, when we're troubled, it's hard to remember that how good God's grace is. And I know that I could give a story, but I know that each of you have each had a circumstance in your life, in your past, that it was difficult to navigate. The surroundings, we're all faced with. My heart goes out right now and to the family of the shooting that took place in Newport News, Virginia. I don't know if you heard about that. 6-year-old kid shot his teacher in school. Now, I'm not gonna. This, all political things, I'm not going in that direction. But I'm just saying, just can you imagine a parent saying, where was God in this? Where's my God? Where is God? We all encounter seasons like this from time to time. And in the upcoming weeks ahead, we'll get a reminder of what God's grace is. The Bible makes it clear. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, God's grace is clearly important. In fact, God uses his grace to strengthen and to refine our faith. 1 Peter 1:6-7 says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Did you hear what Peter is saying here? He's saying that your faith is even more valuable than gold. is a precious commodity. It's worth the struggles and trials of life. It's through these struggles we learn God is faithful and that His immeasurable grace is with us daily. I want to jump this morning looking to a character, if you will, that I know that we're all familiar with the Old Testament. You know, if you didn't even see it in the Bible, maybe you saw the movie with Charlton Heston. And some of you are like, who's Charlton Heston? All right. But, you know Moses, right? And so you know his story. And as a matter of fact, Moses was brought up in yesterday in our time together, yesterday morning, the men's prayer breakfast, we brought up Moses. And we shared how great he was leading the Israelites out of bondage to the promised land. However, toward the beginning of the time of hearing from God, he had experienced that deepening in his understanding of God's grace. God just showed himself to him. Specifically, he discovered how God's grace is often showcased through God's presence with his people. Now, if you have your Bible with you, go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 4. Let me just set this up here, a little context. You know, chapter 2, in Exodus, we know Moses is born, and then he grows up in the palace, and I'm just a couple of highlights here. And then next thing you know, Moses is a full-grown man, and then he sees an altercation going on, and he intervenes, he ends up taking the life of this Egyptian. And then it wasn't, I don't know the timeline, but it was soon after that, he sees his fellow Hebrews in an altercation arguing, and they're like saying, oh, so what are you going to do? You gonna kill us too like you killed the Egyptian? And then like, oh, geez, Moses like, you fell into his secret. Has been, you know, it's not so much a secret. Everybody knows. And so then Moses, bam, he's out of there, all right? So next thing you know, we're still in chapter 2. He heads off to Midian. And so on his way to Midian, he gets there. And then he runs into the priests, the daughters of the priests of Midian. And then, you know, he stands up there because these shepherds are trying to take over from the well. They're pulling one. They're trying to give these daughters the old man shove and get out of the way. And Moses, he comes to the rescue. And then the priest daughters, they feed their flock there. And then going into chapter 3, we have the experience where Moses runs into the great I Am. He sees that burning bush. And he goes to the burning bush. And then Jesus says, hey, our Heavenly Father says, take off your flip-flops because this is holy ground. And so it's even in that same chapter there, chapter 3, Moses, he gets his marching order. So here we are in Exodus 4, 1 through 12. Moses answered. He's just gotten his marching orders from our Heavenly Father, from God. He says, but behold, they will not believe me or listen to me, my voice, because God has instructed him, hey, I want you to go into that land and I want you to speak to our people and let them know that I'm sending you, okay? And so for they will not say the Lord did not appear to you. The Lord said to him, what is in your hand? He said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses ran to it, ran from it. Don't run to a snake, all right? But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they might believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said to him, put your hand inside your cloak. And he put it inside and his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, put your hand back inside your cloak. So he put his hand back inside his cloak, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. If they will not believe you, God said, or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. Verse 10, but Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? It is not I, the Lord. Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with you, be with your mouth, and teach what you shall speak. What a story, right? What a story. The whole snake thing. Can you kind of envision that? Maybe not up here if it's with snakes, because we don't have snakes up here, but I'm just... God was faithful enough to go to Moses wherever he went, which allowed him to eventually accomplish incredible things for the Lord. But it didn't come without refining events. And we read about in Exodus 4. God's grace is with us even when we have questions, all right? Even when we have questions, he is with us. It's so interesting that the first thing we see in this passage is consistent question that Moses has, and sometimes we do too. But what if? Have you ever said that? But what if? Oftentimes in life, we look back at our decisions that we chose to make, or we didn't, by the what if. But what if I do that? Or if I didn't do that? The question to God comes from a place of doubt, you see, with Moses. Doubt is something we will get to a little bit more in depth in the weeks ahead in this series. But you have to be aware of the questions we have for God, many of which originate from that place of doubt. In the middle of Mark chapter 9, there's this story that takes place. It takes place around the 14th verse, and it's not going to pop up here, okay? But we'll get to that verse that you see on the screen here. What you have here is, maybe you're familiar with this story. Jesus walks into the town after the disciples have been away, and now they're coming back together, and he comes to this area, and they're kind of arguing. There's this argument going on, this verbal thing going on, and Jesus is like, well, what's going on here? And this guy says, hey, he's got a son, and he's full of, you know, demons and this evil spirits and very demonic. And his father says, hey, I asked your disciples to heal my boy, but they couldn't do it. And Jesus says, oh, he gets a little bit just upset with them, but he's like, he goes, he said to them, oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? He's like, man, I'm getting tired of this, right? And so then he goes on, and Jesus said, asked the father, well, how long has your son been acting, you know, had this on him? And he says, oh, he's had it from childhood. And so as the boy is coming close, the evil spirits are recognized that they're in the presence of the Lord, and he starts, you know, going to convulsions and everything else. And his dad says to him in the 22nd verse, he says, and it has often cast. He's telling that it's also these demons that casted him into fire and water to destroy him. And his dad says this. It's in the 22nd verse. He goes, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can do anything. And then that, right after that, it just kind of like leaps off the page. And Jesus says to him, if you can. Do you not know who I am? What do you mean, if I can? In all that Jesus Christ has done up to that point, and he's going to question whether or not, well, if you can, and Jesus comes right back to him and says, if I can, all things are possible for one who believes. And so this verse right after that, he says, immediately the father, this is verse 24, immediately the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. It seems to be that God is all right with our questions. Listen, doubt will slip in every now and then. But God, he desires that we trust him. He doesn't get wrapped around the axle because you're asking questions, because he's a little bit bigger than that. He's like, hey, you can ask me those questions. He's big enough to handle anything you can throw at him. You're not going to catch him off guard. I think kind of another example is when, you remember the angel Gabriel, when he came and he introduced himself to Mary. And he says, hey, you are about to be with child. And I don't know that so much that she doubted, is that she was just in a query, if you will. She goes, how can this be? How can this be that I'm going to have a child? But what I like about Mary is the fact that it's not like a few verses later in Luke 1, it says, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me according to the word. Wow. Sometimes I think we're going through like, how in the world is this going to happen to me? How can I be used of God? How? That can't happen. But if I can be used of God, we need to settle with that in our head. If I can be used of God, just like Mary, let it be true. Let it come to true. Let it come true. How often do we bring questions to our God? Though a sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, God has made a way for us to connect with him through prayer. We can tell him anything, anywhere, anytime. Anytime. We could come to him. We can bring any type of question we have, and he can handle it. God's grace is with us when we have questions. God's grace is present even when we don't believe, all right? One of the most beautiful signs of God's grace is that he's willing to reveal himself to us through an almost unlimited variety of ways. He knows you, David Watkins. He knows how to speak to you, all right? But it's not the same way that he speaks to the doc, all right? It's not the same way that he speaks to Sarah. He knows how to speak to each and every one of us. With me, he knows that, hey, I can't like do a little AJR. No, he's got like, hey, wake up. I need you to know this is me. I think one of the biggest things, I know I shared this story before, but it was when I was first starting, and I'm like, hey, should I go to college? Should I go to Bible college? You know, the closest one there, it was a satellite there at Fort Wainwright. And I'm like, should I go? Because I want to be, I can't help it. I know that I have the anointing of God on me. Okay? But I need to be educated, right? I need to know what the Bible says, right? So I was going to college for that reason. And that morning, you know, I listen to Caleb, and they always say, hey, if you got a prayer request, send it to us. So I'm like, yeah. So I sent in the prayer request. It was an old phone, right, where you had to do the A, B, and C, and you had to keep on clicking. Those of you, you know what I'm talking about, okay? So I finally get it. Hey, I'm 40 plus years old. I'm going to college. I just need to know that this is what God wants me to do. I did that at the beginning of the day. So it's 4 o'clock. School's about to start. I'm taking off from my job, and K-Love is on. And they come through, and they say, hey, here's a prayer. You know, we're going to just speak out to these prayer requests that were sent to us. And I'm sitting there in my truck, and the very first one they come up with, we're going to pray for this guy who's 40 plus, who's trying to decide whether or not he needs to go to school or not, so he can be a better servant of God. I'm like, okay, do you realize how many prayer requests Caleb gets? Hundreds, if not thousands. But the first one that came over the air as I'm getting in the vehicle to go to school is my prayer request. I'll never forget that. I can't. Yeah, he didn't speak to me verbally like, JR, go to school, you know. But he spoke to me in a way that left no doubt that he wanted me to do that. God is willing to show up in miraculous ways in order to get us to the place we need to be. Even when we don't believe, God's grace still shows up. Moses' initial inquiry toward God has to do with the Israelite people doubting that God, that he'd ever appeared before God. So the Lord provides him with 2 miraculous signs. He gives them 2 signs in which to prove that. And he just didn't say, okay, Moses, I want you to go. This is what's going to happen, right? When you go there, if they start acting kind of weird, hey, just throw your stick down, you know, and then it'll turn to a snake, and then throw your hand down again and pick it up. And then if that doesn't work, hey, stick your hand aside, leprous, put it back in. He just doesn't tell him about it. He says, Moses, do it right now so you can see. I need you to know that this is what's going to happen. I need you to know what's going to happen. Because the whole snake thing, that might kind of freak you out. But so he not only told him what to do, but he showed him what had to happen. These signs prove God is indeed with the people in this journey they are on, and that Moses is able to be his messenger. And maybe today, maybe just today, God brought you to this place specifically, or where you're at in your homes, and listening to my voice this morning to hear those words spoken over your life as well. God not only is with you, but he is gracious enough to reveal his faithfulness to you time and time again. Each one of us is on a different journey. Not all of us are on the same journey. We're on the same journey, but maybe different paths. And along the way, we will struggle to believe God is present and working in the midst of our struggles. Yeah, and it's a human tendency. It's a human tendency and condition. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, things will begin to change. Romans 8:14 says, For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. When we begin to talk with God about questions and doubts, we start to understand how our faith will be strengthened by believing in our God. He is listening to you. He's listening to you. He's aware of what's going on. Moses sees God work 2 miraculous signs, both in which he's told to do himself, and so that people, for those who won't believe, will believe. I wonder if God has been working miracles in your life and in your story, that no one even knows about, no one else has seen, holding on to what God does for us in private can make us stronger. But even when we don't believe, God is showing us He's with us. God's grace is with us when we have questions. God's grace is with us, is always present, even when we don't believe. And lastly, God's grace is present even when we don't know what to say. When we come to the end of the story in Exodus, in that passage, Moses comes to a point where maybe we find ourselves sometimes. Have you ever found yourself at a loss for words? You're like, what am I supposed to say? Maybe sometimes it's funny, right? Nora was making me some coffee, and we had guests. My other sister, Burnett, was there, and one of her friends. We were at the kitchen table, and I'm popping off about, oh, I don't like Splenda. I don't like that artificial sugar. You know, I don't want to have any of that in my coffee. It's not the same. And so Nora, you know, she goes, oh, you don't like that. You know, I'm like, no, I don't like that. I don't want that stuff in my coffee. She goes, oh, so you can tell the difference, huh? And I'm like, yeah, of course. She says to me, in front of my sister and guests, she goes, well, you know, I've been putting that in your coffee every day. And I'm like, There's nothing you can say, right? We've all been there, right? Moses finds himself making yet another excuse as to why he isn't able to go and do what God has called him to do. But even when we don't know what to say, God will show his grace by providing words. He did it for Moses. He did it for Peter. He did it for the disciples. Okay, and so when you go home, you've got to promise me you're going to read this portion of Scripture in Acts, all right? Promise me you're going to do that. Because if I don't see everybody doing this, I'm going to go into it. Oh, now you nod your heads. you got to promise me you're going to go to this story. And what he did in Acts, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 13. You know what? Go to this 22nd verse, all right? Read that passage, all right? And what happened there, he'll do for you today, all right? So you have to read it, and then when you read it, go, okay, that's what J.R. was talking about, all right? Okay. Have you ever been in a crucial conversation with somebody when you're trying to comfort somebody? I'm trying to find the words to say. When, you know, I do this all the time. When I know that I'm about to speak with anybody that says, hey, Pastor JR, can I talk to you for a minute? Or someone says, hey, let me speak to you. You know, can I talk to you for a minute? Or da da da. And I'm like, sure. And I have to say, Father, please give me the wisdom to say what I'm supposed to say and not supposed to say. Because sometimes we mess up. Okay, none of you. Sometimes I mess up. The wrong things come out of my mouth. In my first Bible in ministry, in the back of it says, things not to say when somebody passes away. It's like an idiot proof thing, right? Don't say things like, oh, they're in a better place. I mean, when at first, like, what's so bad about that? But then you're saying to them, to the family, the place that they were in wasn't a good place. So, I mean, I'm like, oh, geez, okay, because I remember saying that one or two times before, but I saw that, I'm like, they said, don't say that. So, I always rely, and I would ask you to, you know, to have that discerning spirit and then ask Father what am I supposed to say? I hope that we all agree that the words we speak are extremely important and that oftentimes need divine intervention to help us communicate our thoughts and feelings to others. And as often as you can, base your answers and what you're going to say on His word. Because when you do that, you're not going to go wrong. Luke 12, 1 through 12 says this, and when they bring you before the synagogues, this is Jesus is saying this in Luke, he's saying, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that every hour what you ought to say. God's timing is perfect. When you most need the words, God will give us the words to say. Our Exodus 4 scripture that we read earlier about Moses, those profound words, verse 12, it says, remember, it says, now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. That's the call that he's making to each and every one of you this morning. Go. Go share the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to be with you. I'll give you what to say. Question is, who is he inviting you to speak to this week? And I believe that you already know who you're supposed to speak to. There's somebody probably in your place of influence that you could speak to, that needs to be spoken to. And Heavenly Father is just waiting for you to go do it. It's like, go ahead. I don't want to go speak to her. She doesn't really like me, but go. I know she doesn't like you, but there's a reason why I'm pushing you to go talk to her. I want you to do it because only you, with the words that I give you, can speak to her heart. Don't be scared. It's in these very moments we see the grace of God in our lives when we step out and do what we're supposed to do. We realize He is with us. And has been with us and will continue to be with us. Let me close. Today we got a glimpse into the early life and the growing faith of Moses. Yes, the same man that had doubts, who was scared and couldn't grasp God, would use him. This is the same Moses listed. The same Moses that was timid, who said, I can't speak, I don't want to do that, they're not going to believe me. He's the same one who's mentioned in the Hall of Fame, if you will. Hebrews 11, 24, 28, where it says, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God then to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. I can only imagine if Moses were here today. I imagine he would say what he would say. It was only by the grace of God that he was able to accomplish the things that he did. And yes, Moses was an amazing human, but so are you. Every one of you are just as amazing and equipped with the anointing of our Heavenly Father to do what He has called you to do. If you have doubts, questions, or fears here today, then I think you're in good company. But let me suggest this. All those doubts and fears that you have, today is a prime opportunity to give it all to Him. How's the song go? All to Thee, my precious Savior, I surrender all. Surrender all of that to Him today. You don't have to carry all of that junk that we tend to want to carry. Heavenly Father, this morning I pray that we would see and feel Your grace. That, yes, we're human. You're the one who created us. And it wasn't Your fault, because we went to the left instead of the right. We were sinful people. But even in that, You said, you know what? I still love You. And I'm here for You. And I'll be there for You. So, Father, for anybody today that's reaching for You, I pray that they take one more step closer to You. And inviting You into a relationship with them. Starting a new journey. What better way to start off 2023 than with You? And I pray that everyone would have that in their hearts and minds, that this year they're gonna hang out with You, and that You're gonna hang out with them. In name I pray. Amen.